Always fun to welcome back a friend who is old stomping ground from the Register Guard to the Oregonian, now doing his thing for the Seattle Times, covers the Husky football beat, catches work online, seattletimes.com, follow on Twitter, the handle @A_Jude. Adam Jude, been a while. How are things with you, sir?
Steve, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, as always. Let's talk about the lead up to the first game against Rutgers. Year three under Chris Peterson, the win total the first 2 years had actually dipped, but obviously they had a nice national ranking. And you, obviously, social media, on your blog, on your articles, you hear from a lot of fans. Entering year three, Husky fans, were they thinking this is the year? How high was the level of optimism coming into this season?
Well, I think it was eloquently summed up in the New York Times headline on the first day of the season going into that Rutgers game. It's paraphrasing the New York Times headline. It said something like, you know, want to win a national title, hire a new coach, and wait 3 years. And they used Chris Peterson and the Huskies as their kind of centerpiece example here. There's just been so much hype, so much buildup about this team all off season. And again, it kind of reached a crescendo, you know, right with that New York Times story. And lo and behold, it looks fairly prophetic 5 weeks later. Again, it's still pretty early in the season. We know the Pac-12 is competitive. So many crazy things can and will happen. But right now, with the Huskies coming off that, 44-6 win, over Stanford here at Husky Stadium, you'd have to think everything is in front of this team right now. Obviously, the transition period coming from Boise State for Peterson and this coaching staff, it was rocky at times, certainly that first year and even last year. There's, they were 4-6, mid-November, coming off they blew a big lead, 17-point lead down at Arizona State last November, and just a big utter collapse there. And lo and behold, they rebounded to win their final three games last year. And I think that's why everyone was pretty excited going into this season, because they did have the youngest offense in UW history last year, led by Drake Browning as a true freshman. And then with the defense that they had coming back, was number one in the Pac-12 last year. And look at them now, holding Stanford to 6 points and 8 sacks last week. I could go on and on. But obviously a ton of buzz, and so far they've absolutely lived up to the hype.
Now, once they finished the non-conference schedule, for them it was kind of soft. I mean, even in 2014 with Illinois.
Kind of soft.
Yeah. Well, historically, they don't play a soft schedule. I'm thinking when they played LSU and, Boise State. But when Pac-12 plays started at Arizona, the Cats with their backup quarterback, Brandon Dawkins, goes to overtime. But that game with Stanford looming may be kind of a wake-up call, because, road games in league are tough. I mean, what was the takeaway between Arizona and Stanford?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And these players talked about it, specifically after the Stanford game, that, hey, that they needed that Arizona game to kind of wake them up a little bit. You don't realize necessarily you need that until you go through it. Because they did have such an easy run through that non-conference schedule, I think it had to be right there with the easiest non-conference schedule in the country. Again, you schedule these things 5, 6, 7 years in advance. They don't necessarily know. But when you've got Idaho, and no offense to Portland State, but an FCS team on your schedule, you should do what the Huskies did to those teams. And so they weren't obviously tested yet. So going down on the road to Arizona, it was a place Washington hadn't won in 10 years. Crazy things always seem to happen to this program down in Arizona. Lo and behold, they're big favorites. They end up going into overtime. They couldn't finish them off. But I think they felt like being able to survive that test in overtime really answered the bell there, really prepared them well, woke them up a little bit for Stanford. And again, we saw what happened with the sellout crowd, 72,000 strong in Husky Stadium. It felt like the team was just kind of floating on air, for the first half of that game. I mean, nothing could stop them. They did just about anything they wanted. Again, 8 sacks against the Stanford offensive line. I mean, if you had said that going into the game last week, nobody would have believed you. I mean, that would have been a hilarious idea. But not only the 8 sacks, but UW's offensive line didn't allow a single sack of Jake Browning either. So they've got it rolling right now, no doubt. So now the question is, can they keep that emotional emotional level? Can they keep those emotions in check coming into this huge rivalry game this week? It's a huge challenge for this team now. As the cliche goes, they're the hunted and not the hunter.
We're talking with Adam Jude of Seattle Times. Obviously, any success, you just mentioned their quarterback, Jake Browning, is going to include his ongoing growth. He played really well the final three games last year. I thought he was a surgeon on Friday. From your chair, how nicely has he progressed to where he is right now as the leader of a team who could do anything?
Yeah, it was a great finish to his true freshman year last year. Again, they won those three straight games, and then opening up this year, he was very precise, in command, and all those cliches about the quarterback, nothing seemed to rattle him. But I was really curious and anxious to see what he could do against Stanford. He missed the Stanford game last year with an injury, so he hadn't faced that defense yet. He hadn't, on paper, faced a challenge like that. And to do what he did, really efficient. You think he's top five in the nation in completion percentage at almost 71%. He's number two or three in the country in quarterback efficiency rating. It just seems like he knows what's going to happen before it happens, maybe even before the defense knows what it's going to do sometimes. I mean, it's really hard to fool him. And he goes through reads and progressions as fast, if not faster, than any young quarterback I think I've ever seen. Again, he just always seems to know and make the right decision almost every time. 17 touchdown passes this season, only two interceptions. I mean, he's going to break, I think, virtually every school record they have here at Washington for quarterback before it's all said and done. There have been so many comparisons to him to Kellen Moore, who Chris Peterson obviously had at State. And one guy who I covered it down there at Oregon that Jake Browning reminds me more and more of is Joey Harrington as well. Joey was a little bit bigger and maybe a little bit more athletic, but just in terms of the competitive fire, kind of the underrated competitive fire that both these guys have. They don't necessarily have huge big arms. They're going to throw it 70 yards down the field, but they can make all the throws and they're really sharp. They seem to know what to do with the ball almost every snap. And so I think that's for Oregon fans, as Jake Browning comes in there for the first time, I'm curious to see what the reaction is and how Jake Browning handles that environment for sure.
Now, Adam, obviously this defense literally hit you over the head. Of the many coaches Coach Peterson took with him from Boise State, the defensive coordinator, Pete Kwiatkowski, remember, he lost all those, lost all those NFL guys and still had terrific defense last year. What makes him, what does he do to get these guys to be as successful as they've been?
Yeah, that's a great question, and so much of it is continuity too, and Kwiatkowski and Jimmy Lake, because their secondary coach, got promoted to co-defensive coordinator this year. A bunch of schools were after him this offseason and did a great job with that secondary. A lot of people consider this to be one of the top two or three defensive secondaries in the country, led by Buda Baker, and Sidney Jones might be the first cornerback taken in the NFL draft, whether it's this next year or a year later. He virtually locks down one whole side of the field. So I'm curious to see with Sidney Jones if he matches up with Darren Carrington each snap this week and how they figure that out. But UW secondary has allowed very little this year. So it'll be interesting to see if it really is Justin Herbert starting for the Ducks, what kind of passing schemes and route concepts they have against this secondary, because not very many people have been able to do much, but the Huskies are loaded at each level. They've got a starting defensive line with guys at 320 pounds, 320 pounds, and 330 pounds, and all those guys can move. Their 330-pounder, Vita Vea, is the fastest of the bunch, and I've heard from some NFL scouts who think has a chance to be a top 10 pick. He's got very raw talent right now. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He was a perfect matchup for Stanford, so it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, with Oregon's tempo, if he can keep up with that. And then you've got Azeem Victor, Keyshawn Bieria, who have got to be playing as well as any linebacker in the Pac-12 right now. I mean, I don't know what the weakness is for this UW defense.
Yeah, they're the two linebackers you mentioned, Bieria and Victor, those are the leading tacklers. I think a lot of people down here are familiar with Baker because of when he was recruited. But you mentioned him, Vea. He's the guy who's, 335? He played every game last year, but he was kind of a depth chart guy. He, to me, looks like a freaking wrecking crew. What kind of impact has he had on this defense?
Yeah, and it's really interesting, too. I mentioned the other two guys, it's Elijah Qualls and Greg Gaines in the middle there. And you look at all those guys, they're all pretty much suited to be nose tackles, but they're their three best linemen. So they've got the versatility where they want to get them all on the field as much as possible. And it's proved disastrous for opposing offenses so far. And, you need to realistically double team all three of those guys. And obviously you can't do that, on every snap. So it's sort of a pick your poison proposition for offensive lines. And Vita Vea has definitely benefited from that. But Elijah Qualls is a guy who I absolutely think is an NFL player as well. And Greg Gaines is just a classic, two-gap nose tackle. So those guys eat up a ton of blocks to free up those linebackers to make some plays. And again, the one question mark for a lot of people, for me, coming into this season was their two edge rushers, and they proved a lot. Tom Wuching, three sacks, National Defensive Player of the Week this week after that performance against Stanford. Joe Mathis had two sacks against Stanford. Those guys are really coming on. So, again, if you're game planning against these guys, frankly, good luck to you. I'm just really not sure. I haven't seen anyone come up with any good plan to really break these guys down yet.
We're talking with Adam Jude of the Seattle Times. Let's go to the other side of the ball. It just seemed they got in a pattern year to year where they had either a young line or injury riddled. But this group lost their center, Futufunga. It looks like they've been able to coach Strasser, the offensive line coach, start the same five every game. What has this line played like continuity-wise, and just how well they've protected and open holes for the run?
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest surprise of anything for this team so far. They've been able to get that continuity and consistency that you always like to see up front. And, that's played really well. Again, what Stanford has become the last 5-6 years is, they control everything at the line of scrimmage, and to see Stanford so thoroughly dominated on both sides of the ball at the line on both sides was stunning, really. Again, no sacks for Jake Browning. I think he was only hit once.
Wow.
When was the last time you were able to say that against Stanford? So, obviously, everything was working for those guys. They had the emotional edge. Husky Stadium on Friday night, national TV. I mean, it was the biggest game and the biggest moment in 15 years for that program, and they fully took advantage of that. But, Trey Adams is a left tackle. Again, we talk about Vita Vea as a potential first-round pick. I think Trey Adams is the left tackle. He's the prototype in every way, a left tackle, 6'7", 6'8", 3'10". He's athletic, and he's only a second-year sophomore. So he's a guy who's really starting to figure things out, sort of mentally, and he's not thinking so much anymore. You can just kind of see him playing fast and playing with some energy, and I think it's really paying off. And again, that line has, for me, probably been the most pleasant surprise from the Huskies' perspective.
Yeah, those tackles, 6'7", 6'8", and sophomores, not so bad. Final thought for Adam Jude. You wrote about it. Obviously, it's been documented to the point of obnoxious, depending on what side of the aisle, the losing streak. And I know the fans and, of course, Softy at KJR are about to lose their minds. But Coach Peterson is a former Duck, and, the players themselves were in grade school the last time they won. How much is this streak getting played up and discussed with, say, the players and coaches?
Yeah, obviously they're trying to downplay it as much as possible. I mean, Chris Peterson's been on both sides of it, and he knows, he acknowledges how important it is for the fans and what it means to both sides. But he's tried as hard as he can to sort of downplay it within the media this week, and he says he wasn't even going to bring it up to his team. Whether that's true or not, we probably will never really know. But, obviously you talk to former players and you talk to certainly longtime fans, up here in Seattle. There's nothing more frustrating than losing one game to Oregon, much less 12 in a row. And, it works vice versa as well. Obviously, I've been on both sides of it. So I think this is a lot of fun. And You know, it's one of those weeks that you know everyone looks forward to for the whole year and all that cliche stuff. But you know, it's fun to kind of see this. You know, the prospects of this being a competitive game. It was fun to see a competitive game last year, and I think this should add some spice to the rivalry going forward too. We know how close the two head coaches are, and we know what this rivalry means to the Northwest, and so I'm looking forward to a competitive game Saturday, and I think it should be a lot of fun.
All right. Hey, AJ, always appreciate your time. Great catching up. Follow his work at SeattleTimes.com, on Twitter at @A_Jude. You travel safe down here and look forward to saying hello in person on Saturday, Adam.
Appreciate it, Steve. See you Saturday.
All right, take it easy.